I looked around, I realized there's so many people I want to welcome, but I do have one special announcement, just one. Many of you know that I have another career besides being a pastor, and that is I have the privilege of working, and about 5 years ago, I met a guy right here, and he has introduced me to doing commercial contracting and fun, and we've had a good five-year journey. I'm glad he's here. His family, and I see a couple other folks out there. I'm really glad you're all here this morning, but it's exciting. We celebrate our resurrection. This week, Friday night, my wife made me turn it off, but we were watching The Passion of the Christ a little bit, and she was going to either leave me or I was going to watch it by myself. She's like, I can't watch this again. I try to watch it every once in a while, so I end up sneaking in a different preview. But if you've not seen the movie, it is heart-wrenching to think what our King did for us. What Jesus did, and as we celebrate this last Passion Week, we think about Good Friday, as I don't know how we call it good, but we see the suffering and what he did as an innocent man for us. It's humbling. It's amazing to know that we have a God who loves us that much, that he would willingly go through that, beaten beyond recognition, one last shy of getting his life taken from him beforehand. And he willingly goes to the cross. He accepts all the pain and the suffering for us so that we can have a relationship with him. It's an amazing thing. And so what's it all for? You know, and this is my 21st resurrection service that I've had a chance to preach for 20. This is my 22nd year being here, but we started later after May, so or April. And I think of all the years of things we've preached, and this morning I have one message. And this is the good news of Resurrection Sunday, good news for you. It's good news, but is it good news to you? So let's go to our Bibles, to Mark 16. We're going to start here. We're going to read about a few verses here. And we're going to see where we go. And let's try to get all these notes done and get you out of here by whatever time. We're good. In fact, at worship went a little bit, you know, they gave me a lot of time today. What'd you guys do to thank you? Would you cut out some music for me or what? It's great. All right, let's start verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices and they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garments, and they were affrighted, as we all would wonder why. And he said to them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter, that he goes before you Galilee, and you shall see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they to anything to any man, for they were afraid. So verse 6 says this. I think we've read it. You've probably seen it on bumper stickers. "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen." The message this morning is simply this: he's not here, he's risen. But is that good news? That's the best news you can ever get. They went, these women went to go and anoint his tomb, to pay reverence, and they were sad. And by the time they got to the tomb, instead of them leaving thinking, "Oh, well, we just, you know, paid tribute to, you know, our Savior," instead they saw a king that was no longer there. And they left with fear. The fear was amazement. It was this overwhelming sense of everything he said is true. But most Christians today, I'm going to be honest with you, most Christians today do not live their life in a way that shows that Jesus is out of the tomb but still in the grave. They live like he's dead. We don't live alive. We don't live free. We don't live like we're more than conquerors. We don't live like we're free from the world's sins. We live like the world lives, or we live in bondage to religion. We live as if the king of the universe didn't even raise up and give us new life. And it says, is it good news? Some Christians think he's still in the grave. At least that's the way they're living. Because he is alive, so are we. Because Jesus is alive, that gives us a new life. Not a life that we had before, not a life of compromise, not a life of misery and depression, but a life of good news. A good news that we don't have to live that way any longer. A good news that the grave is empty, our Savior's alive, and he gave us a new life. A life that gives us freedom and hope and peace. And this is the good news. And when we understand this good news, we understand that the gospel, Paul says, preach the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? The good news. Are we preaching the gospel? And you know, I don't even know who gave credit to this anymore because I've heard it, St. Francis of Assisi, I've heard this. My brother over there being a scholar would probably tell me the right reference to this quote. But it says, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. We've heard that statement so many times. Preach the gospel. Live the good news. Be the good news. Show the good news. Let the good news flow through you, that when people see your life, they see the God that we serve. That's good news. Good news is not just talking about God who, hey, you know, everywhere around the country today, people are celebrating this one day. But what if we live the good news every day? The good news that our God, who saw us in a condition of sin, of depravity, that we were separated from him, a big chasm of our sin and his holiness. And no man could ever get that gap filled except by one sacrifice, by one person. And that was Jesus doing this for us. What if we found out that's the best news you've ever had in your life? Not that you won the lottery. Even though it's good news. I've never bought a lottery ticket yet. I might do that one time just to see if it's really good news for me. But you know what? Even if I won $1 million on the Powerball or whatever, what is it? Actually, it's like almost like $1 billion, isn't it, really? You see these numbers, 800 and something million. Even if I won the lottery, it's not as good as the news as this today. The good news is that I have a king who decided to humble himself and become a man and take the penalty and the punishment of a man so I can have life again, that I don't have to live in bondage to my sin and my circumstances, but I have a hope inside of me. That's good news. Good news sets me in a place where I can be free from me. And if you know me, that's really good news. Trust me, my wife's over here. Amen. That's the loudest amen she's had all year. Being free from me is a good thing. Anybody ever really go, let your thoughts go ramp? We can be our own worst enemy. But Jesus came to set us free so we don't have to be in bondage to anything or anyone, including our past and our prison that we put ourselves in. We are free. So this morning, as we talk about the freedom and the good news, there are three areas which actually have subpoints underneath them, so there's like 10 of them, but don't count this morning. I'm going to give you the good news, and number one is if you have your Bibles, flip over to Romans chapter 6. We have a few scriptures to get through, I want to warn you, so this is not one of those things where, but then again, if you don't have your Bibles, we have a cheat sheet right here for you, and so we have great computer people back there. So great, no. But you see, if I read verse 6, you know what that means. Those have been here for a while. I can't just read verse 6, folks. So verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we who are supposed to be dead to sin living therein? Know you not that many of you were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized in it? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, I have this one, if you guys have been here a little bit, I have this one highlighted, underlined, circled, starred, and circled again. This is a very important verse to me in my life. Knowing this, now knowing what I just shared with you, that you died with him, you're buried with him, you're raised with him, you can live with him, you are now in him, he is in you, you're one because of what he did for you. Knowing all this, that our old man is crucified, just like Jesus did for us as a sacrifice with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth, from this day forward, you ready for some good news? We should not serve sin. We have, as Christians, the best news we have is not only did you get set free from the penalty of sin, you've been set free from the power of sin. So now that we don't have to live in sin because we've been set free from sin, now we don't have to serve it anymore. In a lot of our lives, we choose to open up doors And we give that power back. And we don't live in the freedom that's right. But today I got good news for you. We, henceforth, that from this day forward, we don't have to serve that power any longer. If you've got sin or strongholds in your life, I got good news for you today. You can be free. Hi, Haley B. Haley B. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
You are so cute. Okay. So anyways, that was only, I won't promise I won't embarrass anybody else today. But isn't she cute? My goodness. I won't even tell any Haley stories now. I can't. I don't have time. I won't get through my notes. Plus, where's Luke? There he is back there. All right. I don't know how she came from you, bud, but she is so cute. I love the guy. Trust me. We were texting last night as I was. It was. I love the guy. I can't. Oh, I love cute kids. Okay. So number one. Number one. Sin has no power over us. Number two. Let's get this one. Luke chapter 10. Let's turn there real quick. I feel like I'm on a race, but I'm not even in a hurry. I'm just excited. Aren't you excited when someone says, "I got good news for you today," and they tell you this, and you're like, "Oh, that was okay news. This is great news." This isn't just good news. This is the second part of the great news I'm going to give you. The enemy has no power over you. Number one, a sin has no power over you. Number two is all the works. Let's read this. Verse 17 of chapter 10 of Luke. And the 70 returned with joy. Why did they have joy? Because they went forth in the preaching the good news, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Jesus said this. I watched him fall. I watched him be taken over. I have that. That's the authority that God had over him. Now he says this, "Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and all over the power of the enemy." Did that say all the power? All the power. Didn't say some. It says all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means injure you." That's the good news. I'm just preaching good news today. That is great news. Nothing the enemy can do can injure you. If you're afraid of the devil, stop today. You have nothing to be. Now, he is like a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5, roaring, getting a loud bite. But you know what? He's got a loud bark, but his bite doesn't hurt. Because we have been protected and we have been given authority over all the power of the enemy. That type of authority we need to be careful with, though. A lot of Christians get flippant with that. They don't understand it, and they mock the devil. Nowhere in Scripture do I see us mocking the devil. Nowhere in Scripture do I say we tease and we tantalize him. No, you know, he's still loose on the earth. He's still the power of the prince of the air. He still has power on this earth. And when you get stupid, once in a while I do too, and you open up those things in your life, and he has somehow attacked you, you open up that door. Why would you choose, you know, I'm not a big animal person, as you know. And so if I saw a big old Rottweiler, which is the only dog I can think of, and so if you have a Rottweiler that's not mean, good for you. But in case you, they're not mean, I'm sorry. Okay, what example should I use? None, okay. So if I was at a big, great grizzly bear in your house, and I was coming to visit you for dinner one night, and you don't cage that thing, I'm going to live a little bit fearful. Yeah. Now you can tell me all day long and say, "Hey, this thing hasn't bit anyone all week." How about last week? This bear has never hurt us. It's just a night. I don't care what you say it is. It doesn't matter. I don't want to be bit or eaten by a bear. But you see, the problem with that is there is power in that animal. And I don't care how much authority I walk in, there are some boundaries I put in my life that I'm not going to open up so I can have that chance for that to be their dinner. I'm not going to open up those doors in my life where I give the enemy a chance to do anything to me that doesn't belong. And so we have been given authority over his power. That means, another way to say it is, there's two guys with guns. One has a badge. We have authority. We don't have to always go fire our gun to prove how good we are. We just have to wear the badge of the authority that God's given us and say, "Listen, I have authority over this. I will not bow. I will not yield." And we have been given that as really good news. The enemy has no power over you. Amen. Let's go to number three. And this is now, let's do this. No, let's not. So according to, let's keep going. I have some more points underneath this, but we have plenty of time. We're good. I told them this morning, I said, I got to start cutting notes out. I had two pages, so I had to get it down to one. But it's a long page. So we talk about the power of the enemy. What does he like to do to people? He likes to put sickness on them. depression, sadness, pain, misery, sorrow. These are all tools of the enemy. Every one of these things are tools the enemy uses to distract you. And I just did a two-week series on avoiding distractions in our life that causes us not to be fruitful in our life. And there's anybody ever have pain in your body that causes just a little distraction? Or how about that a worry or fear and anxiety gets you, and it gets in your gut, and you just can't even function throughout the day because you allowed worry to get in there, and it becomes anxious, and you become so fearful of everything around you. These things are real to real people. And these are all works of the enemy. Fear is of the enemy. It's not of God. Depression is not of God. Sickness is not of God. Why would he heal? Why would he go? I'll finish in a minute. Why would he go around and heal people if he was causing it? For some of you in this room that are visiting, I appreciate you being here more than you realize. It honors us to know that you chose to be here with us this morning. But this church believes, I believe, in everything in me, that the enemy causes bad and God does good. There's no middle ground here. God doesn't put something bad on me to prove how good he is. That's narcissistic. That's not the God I serve. He is a good God and only does good. And some people, he's just trying to teach me a lesson. He can teach you a lesson a lot better. He doesn't need to use the devil to get you to do what he wants you to do. Okay? So let me think. That's just groundwork because I don't want to go here. My Bible says this in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's with me. Bless the Lord, who what? Forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. That wasn't just a maybe. By his stripes, we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And we can go on and throughout all of scripture. Jesus went and saw the multitudes, Matthew 9:36. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And what? He healed all that were there. His heart for people was able to go and see their needs met through healing and provision. When he saw the multitude that were hungry, he fed the 5,000 and had baskets left over. Isn't this good news? This is a God who every time the enemy wants to put something on you, whether it's sickness, whether it's sadness, whether it's sorrow, depression, it doesn't matter what this is, we have been given authority to not live under that anymore. Matter of fact, today, if you just do me, since there's a lot of visitors here, I don't know where you are, I'm going to do something right now that it's not in my notes. It's okay. If any of you in this room right now want to take a step of faith and believe right now, the Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed. That means the day you believed is the day you received. You know, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11 with me if you don't mind. If you're part of the church, you're going to realize, just start laughing now. Is there a month that goes by that Kenny or I do not use this? Probably not, but that's okay. Let's go to Mark 11. I'm going to give you a testimony while I'm sharing this with you. So this week we were out working, and there was a homeowner we were working for, and she says to me, so you're a preacher, really full, you do all this, you're a preacher too? I said, I do, I preach. I've been doing it a long time. And I think it's what Kevin says too, you're a preacher. Right? I'm a preacher, yes, this is what I do. And I said to her, she's talking about this pain and all the stuff she was going through, and she's a believer. And she kept talking about all these circumstances. So finally, I just said to her, can I ask you something? Have you ever heard the message about the power of our words? And she goes, what do you mean? So I took her to this scripture, verse 22, have faith in God. A lot of things have faith in. Keith Moore was saying in a video we watched a couple weeks ago, you can have faith in faith, but that doesn't work very well. The principle might work, but the God that we serve is being left out. You have to have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, anybody in the room, every one of you are qualified right now, because every one of you are whosoever. True? He didn't leave anybody out. So that means he's talking to every single person in this room today, including myself. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. So not doubt, but believe. So they say the mountain, and they believe in their heart, that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Y'all ever read that before? If you haven't, I want to encourage you. This is a biblical principle that goes beyond all barriers of your life. If you understand the power that we have in faith to believe, to receive. When did they receive the miracle? The minute they believed. They spoke it out as if it was done. This morning, the good news for the gospel is you have been given authority over all the mountains in your life to be removed. You've been given authority over every barrier that's blocking you from going ahead. You've been given the blessing and the good news of God to get you to stay free. So I'm going to just pray this right now, even right in the middle of my sermon. It's not an altar call. Right where you're seated. I want to stand with you. If anybody of you in this room right now says, you know what, I'm struggling with depression. It's a real thing. It's real. People's lives get destroyed because of all the, and we have seen suicide rates. We've seen all these things because the enemy gets in there, puts this in this overwhelming feeling that you just can't function in life anymore, and you get yourself overwhelmed to the point of depression. But I believe Jesus says right here that we can be set free from that. Sickness, physical, anybody. We believe today that we have been given authority over all the power of the devil. That is good news for us. I'm going to pray this prayer right now. It's going to take me about 10, 15 seconds. And if you were in this position this morning, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm not even going to embarrass you yet. Yet. Not even this part, there's no embarrassment in it. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front when you're done praying it. Unless if God, we have seen it in this church many times over the years. Unless if you know the power of God has touched you and healed you instantly, you can go and tackle me and I'll give you the microphone to testify. I'm okay with that. But right now, all I want to do is pray a prayer over you. And I want you to receive it by faith. Would you do that? All right. I need you to believe it. I need you to receive it. And then I need you, when I say it out loud, I want you to speak it and believe it. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free from all sickness, disease, bondage by the power of the cross. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, today I am healed. I speak it over your bodies, over your minds, over your emotions, because of Jesus and because of the good news of the gospel. I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be in bondage. This depression and fear and anxiety and worry and all the things that torment me every day, I choose today to believe that I have received. I am free in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you believe it, just receive it. It's that simple. That's how the kingdom works. If I want to go through, which I will in a minute, we're going to get down there. Never mind. Okay, now let's go back to my notes. That was all just free. We've been also, my last point. First point was sin has no power over me. Number two is the enemy has no power over me. And number three, we have been given a new life. We can think different, feel different. And let's start right here. Let's go to John chapter 8, if you would. Only got a few more scriptures in here. I say a few. John 8:32 says this. Well, let's just start with 31 because it's a paragraph break. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on them, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said the truth. Who is the truth? It's a person. John 14:6 says, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am. That means he is the truth. He's a person. When you know Jesus, and when you know his word, and his word gets in you, it becomes freedom to everything and every area of your life. Verse 36, just jump down here. I am going to break some context this way. If the Son, another scripture says, since the Son has set you free, therefore, since the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. One scripture, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Today, I have really good news for you if you don't want to receive it. Ready for this one? You're free. You're free from addiction. You're free from bondage. You're free from sorrow. You're free. You don't have to live in bondage anymore. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's you. Okay. All right. Some of you got it. Good. That's good. We'll move on. You know, eventually I'll probably hit one of you. I mean, you know, we're going to keep going. And if I don't see all of you respond, I'll just keep preaching. I have another page in my office I'll go get. We are free from bondage. I am free. If you don't ever get that revelation inside your gut, you are free. You don't have to live under anything or anyone else's control anymore. You're free. Jesus sets you free. The next one, Philippians 4, verse 7. And they're all up there. So now you guys are getting really lazy, and they're just going to watch the screen, and so am I actually. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you don't mind throwing the next one up there for me, please, on the John 14. Oh, you already. This girl's good. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Let your, not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One of the greatest revelations, and I've been in the church a long time in my life. I've been, you know, as many of you know, my dad's a preacher. I got a theologian over here with my brother. I've got a long list of people around me that know the word. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, we were in a men's group, like 10 or 12 years ago, and Mark Shoemaker was teaching this message on how this peace is yours. And I was a person, just being honest with you, I always had a lot of anxious stuff inside of me that I wasn't living in full peace. I didn't know what peace felt like, really, until I got a good report. I'm like, oh, I got peace for a minute. But then all of a sudden, as Mark was teaching us on that men's group, and we were listening, I realized Jesus said, I give you my peace. Do you think Jesus, when he was woken up by the disciples as they were going across the other side in the boat, when the waves were capsizing and everything was, and he goes, and they go, why are you waking me up? Why aren't you? He was upset with the disciples for waking him up. He said, so he got out of the lower part of the boat, walked up, he rebuked the wind, the wave by saying what? Peace be still. Because the peace that Jesus operated in was inside of him. And so he was able to go speak to an unpeaceful, a tumultuous situation because of the peace that he lived in. Imagine how much the world needs you in your peace. You got something to offer the people around you because you are the peace for them. And you can help give them that peace because it's the same peace that Jesus gave you. We need to be the peace, A, for our own sanity, which is good to have, but B, we can rebuke the wind, the waves. We can do the things that Jesus causes us to do because we're doing it from a place of peace and not anxiousness. Many of you understand, when you get into a place of worry and anxiety and you start doing things out of that, it's not very fruitful, is it? You do, and you get nothing in results. But when you get yourself into a place of peace, the peace, Philippians 4, we just read it, that passes all understanding. It guards your heart and your minds. When God's peace is putting a guard over your heart and your mind, it protects you from all those thoughts and feelings and distractions that the enemy tries to get you in. God's peace is it's the helmet of salvation. Remember that? It's a peace, I know the peace of the feet too. But when we put that helmet of salvation on, it guards our mind so we can live in peace. I don't know about you, but if you're honest with me, there's days where you sit back at home and you wish you could just have just a moment of peace. I got good news for you today. He's given you his peace. Part of the gospel message today is my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Not as the world gives you, it's his peace he gives to you. So I got really good news we can leave here with his peace. The other thing you can leave here is Psalm 16:11 says this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The other thing that we've been given as Christians is joy. Joy is not based on circumstances, that's happiness. Happiness means I won the lottery, woohoo, right? The lottery came up twice in one sermon, that's impressive. So I won the lottery, it makes me happy, but does it supply all my need? Nope, it's temporal. And I forget, I actually had a statistic one time about how many people win big and lose big later. They have nothing to show for it years later because all it did was a temporary fix to a permanent problem. But this is the permanent fix. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. We have been given in his presence a joy unspeakable. We can't even describe that deep inside of me. Not only do I have peace, but in the midst of all the trials and junk around me, I can have a joy that comes from the Lord. I don't know about you, but there has been days in my life when I'm walking really in the authority I'm supposed to, and I hear this bad report, and I just get this, and I just want to laugh. From my gut, I just want to laugh and go, really, are you kidding me? That's just the devil. I don't have to. I'm going to have a joy that supersedes the bad reports that we get in this life. There are going to be mark my words, tribulation in this world. Jesus said it. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus says, I overcame the world. And the good news I already gave you earlier, you're in him. So now who's an overcomer? You. Be of good cheer. I overcame the world. You're in me, I'm in you. You're an overcomer now. So you will have tribulation. You will have bad reports. You will have things that come at you. But you can be of good cheer to know that today, mark my words, you're an overcomer. And you don't have to let that destroy you. You can take authority and be an overcomer over it. That's good news, isn't it? All right, one more thing in this. Yes, one more. The last one is one of the most important ones. If you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. This is my second to last verse, and it's almost my closing. If I say closing, then you're going to know there's three more. So I say almost my closing, so you know that we're getting close. I don't get a lot of grace from some of you people, I think. I do this every week, and that's okay. Kenny's starting a two-month series next, right, Kenny? Is that you next 2 months? I give him 2 weeks, he takes four. So if I say 2 months, I might not preach the rest of the year. So God gets a word in him and wants to go. If you haven't heard Kenny preach, by the way, you need to come on back. This is, he's a lot better. He teaches, he stays on track. He's actually, you leave and he's excellent. And if you don't get a chance, plug again for his podcast that come out every Tuesday, Wednesday. Every Wednesday, the podcast, and actually I was talking to somebody on Friday that was sharing about, oh, and Pastor Kenny, when he shared on his podcast, I go, I need to tell him that. That's really good. People are listening and receiving and sharing with other people. That's really good news. That's why we have that podcast, not because, you know, I'm not on it, because it says podcast, and I don't understand what podcast means. So I just said, that's why him and Amy do the podcast, and they work out really well with that, right? And she's shaking her head at me like always, and she's, no. Yes, I just don't get into that much, but other people can use that. Download on your phones. Listen to it. It really builds you up during the week. Verse 31. This is my last point I'd like to make about good news for you today. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither you go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, now, by the way, all this is just a prophecy of him going and dying on the cross for us. And this is the message he's leaving you. This is the good news Jesus is leaving his disciples. When I'm not with you, this is going to mark you. It's going to mark the church. And it's the best news Jesus can give to his disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That seems repetitive, doesn't it? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What was he trying to say? I think he was making his point pretty solid. Love one another. I have really good news for you. The love of God is so real in my life that I know I have a Father who loves me. Despite of my frailty, my weaknesses, despite of the things that I've done, I know today, I am confident to tell you, the best and the greatest news of all is the King who gave his life for you loves you. And he would do it again for you. That's the God that we serve. He loves me so much. And you know, in this world today, we don't understand the word love. But love literally means he laid down his life for you. He gave everything for you. He loves you you can't even comprehend how great his love is. Paul tried to pray it over the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I pray that you might know. The word know there was the word experience, God's love. The length, the depth, the height, the breadth. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is his love. And when you are walking in love, you are walking in love from God, you then begin to love others naturally. If you, you know, and 1 John goes on to say a little bit different. He goes, you know how I know you love God? Is if you're loving one another. As a church, the best news I have for you is you can leave here today, not only knowing you are loved, but you're to be a vessel of love to everyone around you. Romans 5 says this way, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. by the power of God's Spirit in you, His love gets filling you up with it so it can flow out of you just as easily. The best news for Christians is the good news is the good news of love. Now, I'm not here to preach hate, division, or strife. It doesn't mean we love sin. It means we love the person trapped in it. There's not a single person in this room at one point in your life, you were not in sin. You might look nice, but you weren't always that way. Neither was I. I've been down a path of compromise in my own life. I've done the drugs. I've done all that stuff. I did that stuff years ago. But I got good news inside of me. My God loves me. He changes me, and he sets me free from it so I can be good news to the people around me. I have the best news for you today. Resurrection Sunday, the King that raised from the grave loves you more than the world itself. I've heard it said many, many times. I probably repeat it many more. If you were the only person on the earth, Jesus still would have died for you the same. He loves us that much. So if we would be able this morning to receive that good news of his love for us, then I got great news too. That love can flow through you so other people can experience the message of the good news. Our King is not in a grave. He's alive. Alive through you, in you, and to go out of you in this place today. My last verse I'm going to share. Worship team, if you want to come on up here. My last verse today is Acts 10. And just so you guys know, I haven't shared this except for maybe in men's group a few times or whatever else. But Acts 10, this is my, every year I get a word that I feel like the Lord put on my heart as my word for the year. This is my verse of the year. And I'm going to preach it to you right now. But then I'm going to do a series on it later. Kenny and I are still working on it. Acts 10:38, one of my favorite verses. How God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What was he doing? Doing good. He was doing the good news. And what is the good news? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is with us today. That's the last verse I'm going to put on the screen. It's not the last verse I'm going to quote, by the way. Matthew 28 says, after he said, all authority has been given unto you in heaven and earth. And he goes, go in all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, da, da, da. And it ends with what? For I am with you. Jesus never and will never commission us to go and do something that he's not with us on. You are not alone when you go out there and you minister healing and deliverance and freedom and good news to the people around you. You're not alone. He's with me. He's anointed me and he hasn't forsaken me. I can do it with him and he can do it through me. His Spirit has anointed me with power. I am anointed with power. That's good news this morning. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. I have power inside of me. It's God's Spirit in me. He's anointed me, and I'm going to go around and do the good news of the gospel. Today, I challenge and I commission this church and everyone in this room to do this right here. Be empowered today by the resurrection power that lives in you. Romans 8:11 says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. That same Spirit living in us gives us freedom and hope, but it gives us power. Power to overcome, power to save, power to heal. That is Jesus' power. And you can introduce people to that power every day of your life. Jesus went around doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. When you see someone oppressed by the devil, it should no longer be a look of disgruntled and judgmental. It should be, how can I bring healing to those that are oppressed of the devil? We look around right now and we see people trapped in their sin, trapped in their behavior, and we judge them and we criticize them, but Jesus didn't. He went around doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. There are people right now deceived, addicted, and you get mad because you don't like their behavior. I don't like it either. But Jesus didn't like the woman's behavior who was caught in the midst of adultery in John chapter 8. They threw her in front of her, probably half naked, because they caught her in the midst of the act. And instead of him judging her, all the accusers are accusing her. And finally, Jesus says, okay, fine. Any of you without the first sin, throw the first stone. And they all left one by one. And he looked at this woman. I've shared this story so many times in Scripture. It's one of my favorites. He said, lady, woman, where's your accusers? Where are they? They're gone. neither do I condemn you. But here's the good news. Go and leave your life of sin. Church, we can't leave that out. We can't just go, oh, we love you the way you are. I do, but we love you more when you change. No, I don't. That's not true. We love them the same. But you know what? Jesus comes and brings the change, not you. You bring the love and the good news. They bring the repentance, and they bring an acknowledgement of his life inside of them, and that will change them. Now you can go around, do good, and heal all those that are oppressed of the devil. Amen? That's good news today. So we got good news today. Literally, sin has no power over you. The enemy has no power over you. Sickness, depression, sin, he has no power over you. We have been given a new life, a new identity, a new joy, a new peace, a new love. And we have been anointed by God to go and do the gospel. Be the good news. Live the good news. Spread the good news. And most importantly, let everybody know that Jesus loves them. And John 3:16 that we love to quote, I do too, for God so loved the world. Yes, he did. But verse 17, he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. He came to save us, not to condemn us. Stop condemning and bring life and love and let Jesus come and bring the change. Their repentance opens the door so the love of God can permeate through them and change them the way he changed you. Did you change automatically, instantly? I didn't. Last week I told the story and some of you are laughing about how I quit smoking. But you know what? I don't care. You can laugh at me. I'm glad I can be a testimony to you. But as I quit smoking 15 times and every time meant it every time, but as I told you last week, I bought a new lighter every time just to prove I quit. So it cost me not only the pack of the cigarettes, but it cost me the lighter too every single time. Because when I quit, I threw it all away. I quit. And finally one day, I just realized I'm done. But that process took 3 years. Why? Because I wasn't willing to give it all over. Now, it wasn't every day for 3 years. It wasn't every week. But it took 3 years for it to finally cut solid in my life. Why? Because I knew I was supposed to. As those of you who didn't know the story last week, I shared, I'll just keep it brief. I was actually leaving a place in Plainfield I was ministering at, and I was driving down the driveway of this long road, and as I was lighting up my cigarette to leave, and I saw this car behind me of all the ministries behind me, I'm like, ooh, so I hide the cigarette. But the smoke kept coming out the window. You know, it just didn't work. And at that point, I'm like, why am I hiding? If I'm not embarrassed, why am I hiding it? God changes us. It took him a while on me. Trust me. I think there's still some areas he's trying to pry in me. But it's okay. We're all going to continue to grow in grace. From glory to glory, he said, we're going to become. So let's see. Would you stand this morning with me? And I'd like to close. And the way I want to close this morning is the way I do it most of the time. And that is, today I want to invite any one of you that have never heard and never received the good news as your personal good news. How are you doing? I can't see everybody. There's too many people. So Kendall's like, don't crowd my space. This morning, I hope you heard the message of good news. Resurrection Sunday is not just about Jesus raising from the dead. That's every day. We celebrate that. We celebrate this morning that he has good news for you. And so I'm going to close in prayer. And as I close, I'm going to have it. Yes, those of you like, oh, I'm new to this church thing. It's okay. Between you and God right now, I'm going to ask you just to go ahead with it and close your eyes in just a second. Don't do it now. You can look. No, wait. And we're going to believe today that if you want to receive the good news of the gospel, Jesus sets you free today. You can be it today. If you want to renew that walk with God that you know today, I came to church. I really want to get some things taken care of. Today's a good day for you. Today there's good news. Jesus died for your sin. He died because he loves you. He died because he gave all of your junk and put it on himself. And he took that to the grave. He died and experienced the punishment of that sin. He went to hell for you. He paid the ultimate price for you today. He did it for you. Now we, through him being raised up from the grave, as we celebrate today, he said, you can get a new life in me. But the way you do it is you got to start from step one. You got to acknowledge that you sinned. And you got to put that sin on Jesus. You got to lay it out there. You got to repent of it. Then you can acknowledge that you died with him, that your sins have been covered by that, and then acknowledge today that you can be born again. That's all it takes. If that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to do that in just a minute. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for all of our hearts and minds as we're here. We're celebrating your resurrection,
the good news, not the bad news, not the okay news. We are celebrating that we are free. We are more than conquerors. We are not victims. We are overcomers. So today I thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that we have been anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power. And we have to go around now, do good and heal those that oppress the devil. As your eyes are closed this morning, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just please honor the moment, honor the people around you. If today you've never prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to become the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do that just by all you have to do. And everyone's going to repeat it. You're not going to be alone later. We're going to all repeat the same prayer in a minute. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in just a second and say, I'd like to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. Or maybe you're the person that says, I've been to church, but I'm not really walking with God right now. And I want to walk with God. I want to renew my heart and my relationship with Him so it's real again. I've walked away. He's never left, but I did. So today I want to turn back around and receive the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that's today offered by Jesus. So as your eyes are closed, anybody in this room, would you just lift up your hand right now as I look around? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the other one. Thank you. Anybody else? It's just between you and the Lord. There's no one looking around. Because we're all going to pray the same prayer. But you just by sticking your hand up, you're just saying in faith today, I want this for me today. I want this for me. Today, I want to be changed. Anybody else? Give you. Thank you. One more. Thank you. All right. Would you all, every one of you in unison, would you pray this prayer after me? Mean it from your heart. If you have raised your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand, you can still pray the prayer and believe it. But I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance and salvation. And if you pray this today, I want you to receive it. And then I want you to go and change, walk, know that today is a day where today you can walk a newness of life. Because when Jesus comes and dwells His Spirit inside of us, we can live changed and born again. So we pray this prayer, everyone together, would you please? Dear Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned. And I know I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me and for my sin. So I repent of my sin. And I confess that Jesus died and rose again for me so that I can be free. That I can be forgiven. I choose salvation today. I receive the gift of salvation in Jesus' name. And I declare today, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen.